Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Two down, two to go. Welcome into our third hour here of Sports Talk leading you into Mardi Gras weekend. Hope you guys are out there having a good time. If you're partaking in the parades, make sure you're safe. If you're at home listening, thanks for being a part of the audience. Good to have you aboard. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. It's kind of mixing football and carnival, right? Would you rather ride in a Mardi Gras Super Crew or play one snap in the NFL? What's your all-time favorite Saints, LSU, or Mardi Gras experience, or your biggest Saints, LSU, or carnival nightmare? Share your stories at 504-260-1870. You can also text us at 870-870. Anthony in Gulfport has been patiently waiting. You're on WWL, Anthony.
How you doing, buddy?
Good, thank you.
I kind of caught the tail end of your last conversation about Taysom Hill and Teddy Bridgewater.
Uh-huh.
I just got an opinion on that a little bit. I'm on the fence with both of y'all. I think Teddy Bridgewater's probably they better than each other in their own ways, man. You can't just, you know what I'm saying? I think right now Teddy Bridgewater will win more games. Maybe a few years from now Taysom might tighten up a little bit, but you know, I'm looking at completion percentage, me. You know,
it's important.
Bridgewater's up again.
It's important.
But
I said that's important. That's an important stat to measure a quarterback by. Accuracy. Teddy Bridgewater's accurate. Listen, I think that with Teddy, I think the fear is, and this is a good problem to have, the fear is what if you make the wrong decision? That's what Saints fans are wondering. What if you choose Taysom over Teddy? What if you choose Teddy over Taysom and the other becomes a star somewhere or perhaps leads a team to a Super Bowl or becomes a very, very, very good starting quarterback? Well, that's one of those things where you look back on and you got the benefit of hindsight 2020. You got to make a decision on what you think is best for your franchise. And if it's Teddy, I don't think there'll be a whole lot of pushback. If it's Taysom, I don't think there'll be a whole lot of pushback either.
Let me ask you this. How much money do you think he's going to try to ask for a year?
Teddy?
No.
Taysom? Well, he's not going to ask for much because he's getting a $4.6 million tender unless the Saints decide to ultimately sign him to a long-term contract ahead of that. I think $7.5-8 million a year. I think $8 million a year.
That much money, I got to get 10 touchdowns out of the year, man.
The problem is Teddy's now going to be worth 12 to 15.
I'd rather give Teddy 12 than give Taysom 8 or 7.
I got you, but you also now have the idea that if you give Teddy 12 to 15, what are you giving Drew? And then you still got to pay Taysom on a $4.6 million tender. It's going to be really hard, Anthony, to keep all three of these guys. It's going to be next to impossible.
I mean, the decision, I'd let Teddy go make his money somewhere. I'd probably keep Taysom. And maybe you might go 3-13 or 4-12 in the season or something, and maybe get a shot at. You know who I want? You know who I want, Buff?
Who?
Sean Payton needs to go call up Andrew Luck, man. Tell him to go, you know, cure up for a couple of years until we need him back.
Anthony, you still owe the Colts. Anthony, you still owe the Colts. They still own his rights. You'd have to give them compensation.
Just for 2 years, huh?
No, to get him to come, if he came out of retirement, if Andrew Luck walked out of retirement and said, I want to play again, and the Colts said, well, we got our starting quarterback. We trade him. Or another team wants to sign him. They owe the Colts compensation. He's still under contract. Just because you retire doesn't mean you're out of that contract.
Yeah, I'm saying I think he only had, 2 years left on his contract?
Yeah, so you're saying wait 2 years and then do it?
Yes, sir. I mean, give Taysom his shot for 2 years. You know, let Drew play this year. Give Taysom his shot for his 2 years, and if he doesn't show any type of improvement, man, you know, make that come.
I guess, Anthony. I mean, I think Andrew Luck's done, though. I just do. He's done.
And we better go get Justin Jefferson in the draft.
Might happen. This draft is filled with receivers. It might happen for the Saints at 24. This is a deep, deep class for receivers. Those that are screaming from the rooftops that the Saints need another option opposite of Mike Thomas, you might get it this year. Craig and Metairie, what's going on, Craig? You're on WWL. Thanks for the phone call, Anthony.
Hey, I talk to y'all ever, actually.
What's that?
I don't think I've ever actually talked to y'all.
Well, first time caller. Welcome.
Yeah. I'm excited about Drew Brees coming back for a different, totally personal reason.
Fantasy?
I haven't been to a Saints game since the 90s.
Huh. Okay.
And now I can finally go to another, and I get to see Drew Brees play.
There you go. Yeah.
That's exciting. Then they added on to that, my son is finally old enough for me to bring him to a Saints game. I can maybe pull some of that successful energy off of that field to my son, like, hey, let's see if you can get into this too.
Nothing better than introducing football to your son and having that father-son bond over football. Pretty easy, pretty simple to forge that bond. Craig, thanks for the phone call. We'll step away for Greg and come back for Greg and Hammond. And you too at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Happy Mardi Gras. This is Sports Talk on WWL. Happy Mardi Gras. Welcome back to Sports Talk. Glad to be hanging out with you as you ease into the weekend, the Mardi Gras weekend. Either you're out there parading or doing something else. Can't fault you either way. I'd be on the parade route if I could, I'll be honest. LSU baseball coming up. We'll keep you updated throughout the early goings till 8 o'clock tonight. Give you an update on the Tigers taking on Eastern Kentucky University. 3 games this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Greg and Hammond, what's going on, Greg? You're on WWL.
Hey, good evening, Christian, and happy Mardi Gras to you. Christian, I wonder how the Saints would have looked if 3 years ago if we could have block Kansas City from jumping up in front of us and say, you know, the Saints and Sean Payton want to take Mahomes. I think how what the Saints would be if they were able to take Mahomes 3 years ago. I would have think we would have gotten one Super Bowl and be set up for 10, 15 years to make a run at 3-4, you know, and Mahomes probably is going to be the highest paid quarterback, you know, in the history of the league. But really what I was calling you about, Christian, with this proposed extra game and playing 17 games, do you think we might see they may make everybody just play another game against the other conference. You know, like I know how that schedule's set up now where you play everybody in your division twice. You play, if you're a first-place team or how you finish, you play all those other first-place teams. Then you play the other four in a division in the other conference. You think they just might add another game and maybe make it like a first-place deal, like, say, the Patriots won first place last year, AFC East. Could we see if they do agree on the 17 games, the Saints play the extra game against New England? Or I think that's probably the only way or best way it was going to work out instead of you playing another NFC conference game. I want to get your take on it. Love the job you do, man. I always followed you when you even did the Who Dat headline up there in Jackson, Mississippi. So you have a great weekend.
All right, Greg, thanks for the phone call. Yeah, I haven't really thought about it, Greg, but yeah, I guess they could approach it that way where it could be, you know, interconference games. I like that idea, Greg. The other thing that I would tell you about the 17-game schedule is the NFL has made no secret about wanting to take this game global, right? And I think that you might have 8 regular season games, 8 home games, 8 road games, with every team playing at least one game in London or in Mexico City, maybe even Toronto. So I think that way you don't have to cheat fans out of a home game or give a team an advantage. with an extra home game, being the 9-8, 9+8, 17, right? We have to rotate that every other year. I think that their eventual goal is to have every team play at least one game in either London or Mexico City. And that's just me, and there's not somebody telling me that from inside the league. That's just how I'm trying to crawl into the head of the NFL and how they typically operate and want to do. And they desperately want to take this game globally. They've played games, a handful of games every year in London. Well, why can't they expand that from week one all the way through week 18? You'd have 17 games, but with a bye week, week 18. Why can't they expand that? Sure they can. Could they do it in Mexico City? Yeah, for the right price. I mean, the Mexico City games have been wildly popular. I mean, there is a ton of fans that love that game. Same in over across the pond in London. I don't know who they'll play. I don't know, maybe my pea brain is too small to compute that, but I think that their goal, though, would be to get another game on an international level. Why? More dollars, bigger market, London market, Mexico City market. That's something they can go to the advertise. I mean, the networks with. That's what it's all driven about. You know, what's funny is before I got into this business, I used to think that the fans were the ones that drove this league. The fan support. Tickets, ticket sales, right? Attendance at games. And I quickly learned that is not, it's a drop in the bucket. What we contribute as fans to this game is a drop in the bucket. It really is. What matters and will always matter is the network deals. That's what controls all this. We talk about officiating, right? We have a sore spot with officiating. Well, it's really not going to get fixed unless the officials, I mean, unless the networks start barking about it. If the networks start feeling like it's a problem, that's when they'll start dictating to the NFL, hey, you got to fix this. The NFL is tone deaf to the fan base, but very much open, has a very much open ear to the networks because they control the money. That's how they make their cash. Because football is a great sport for TV. Is there another sport that's made for TV better than football? Nope. Not hockey. Basketball's good. Joey's in there wrestling. No, wrestling's not a sport. Wrestling's entertainment. Logan will tell you that. Is there a sport, though, that's really made for TV better than football? And the answer is no. That's why the networks are so valuable to the NFL. Because we consume it both in the stadium, but also in front of our couch or in front of our TV on our couches. And that's ultimately what the CBA is going to boil down to. Network deals. I don't know that the players are going to get the 50-50 revenue split that they want. You know why? Because I think the owners are going to run interference on that, and they're going to create a diversionary tactic. They always do. Hey, we can't give you 50%, but what we can give you is what, and this is what always happens, is because there's a certain segment of NFL players that know that they're elite, and if they know that the CBA is custom to the in their favor, they'll sacrifice the younger, middle-of-the-road veterans and younger players for ultimately what they know they can attain. So if the owners, they've done it before, and they'll do it again. The owners know that the elite will sacrifice the middle-of-the-road players and the young players for more possible money in different ways or different perks and privileges. Raising the salary cap, being creative with how quarterbacks can get paid, how certain corners and pass rushers can get paid. They'll find a way to be creative in some way. Maybe I'm not explaining it the right way, but I think you get the point that the owners are going to find a way to make it – they always find a way to divide the players. They just do. The last CBA, they made it about the superstars and the young players. They priced out the middle of the road players. The Pearson Prelus of the world. You remember him, part of the Saints special teams in the Super Bowl run? They've priced those guys out. The guys that are middle of the road, can get eight-year careers as a special teams guy, a spot player in the defensive backfield. And the players went for it hook, line, and sinker because they put a rookie cap on it and ultimately elevated the salary cap, which the elite players knew they were going to have a bigger chunk of. Not the middle of the road players, not the average players. It happens every CBA. The owners are going to do the same thing. Their strategy will be the same thing this way. Oh, players, what is it that you really, really want? 50-50 revenue share. No, can't give you that, but here's what we can do. And they'll make it very attractive for those players that know they're going to play in this league double-digit plus years and make elite money. And those players are going to go, I've already made my 10 years. I'm not worried about that second-year veteran or that rookie coming into the league. I don't really care. I'm going to do what's best for me. It's human nature. It really is. We'd like to think of them wanting to pay it forward and leaving it better than what they found it. And that's all nice. It's like on Wolf of Wall Street. It's pixie dust, fairy dust. You know, Matthew McConaughey said it best. That's what it is. To think that these players are truly going to stay united. And I know Zach and Deuce are probably wanting to scream and yell at me right now. But that's what the owners do. They divide them. They get them divided. And then that's when they go on the attack and get everything that they want in the CBA. The owners typically always win in collective bargaining agreements. Just like the employee to employer. Typically, the employer is always going to get the better deal of that contract. If you're under contract, you might think you're getting some good stuff, but the employer is always going to make it advantageous for them, more so than you. They always will. They have most of the leverage. They're going to maintain that leverage. They're going to give you some things you might want, but it's not going to be everything you want. Same thing goes in the CBA and the NFL. Chip on the West Bank. What's going on, Chip? You're on WWL.
Hey, y'all were talking about the best sport for television. And from a viewer standpoint, I really have to say that basketball is the best because you can see the whole court from the film. You don't miss any action. You don't see the camera shifting to a guy who all of a sudden is wide open. In baseball, something gets right past the shortstop and they have to switch cameras. But in basketball, you really have a great view of the entire game. So I'm going to go ahead and let you comment on that.
Look, I think the problem is that the ball is just a little too hard to follow. But I get it. Basketball is up there, too. That's a great sport for TV. But sports like hockey, baseball, soccer, for the most part, if you're covering the whole field or the whole pitch in soccer, you got to be zoomed out a little bit, right? You're not going to be right on top of the ball. You can follow the ball, but you're zoomed out. You're not uptight on players. I mean, really, I was trying to drive home that point relative to another point about it being the greatest sport on TV or made for TV. Football is kind of made for it. Basketball's up there. But there's one thing that's different between basketball and football and the CBA. The NBA, run by players. Run by players. The NFL, run by owners. I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. All right, we'll step away and come back. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Going to have Chris Blair, the voice of the LSU Tigers. They're taking on South Carolina, still trying to remain alive in the SEC. Hoops action next here on Sports Talk on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, welcome in. QB and Hammond, what's going on, QB? You're on WWL.
Hey, how you doing, Christian? Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment regarding the QB status in New Orleans with our current football team. I just, honestly, my personal opinion, I know a lot of people may not understand where I'm coming from, but so be it. But my biggest thing is I'm a New Orleans Saints fan that goes back several years, and I could clearly remember where we was in a situation before Drew Brees ever even came into the equation where we had a good quality quarterback that constantly produces stats week after week after week. And it was frustrating at that moment and at that point to see our team from a city standpoint to struggle to make it to each and every playoff game year after year after year. So now that we have come accustomed to seeing the opportunity to be able to come to a playoff game every single year, what my biggest statement is that I want to make to everybody out there that may be listening is, whether we choose to roll with Taysom Hill as our starting quarterback moving forward once Drew Brees retires, or whether we choose to keep Teddy Bridgewater the main idea that us as true Saints fans who have a history and remember, we all need to know whatever the outcome comes to where we become as a franchise, we need to remember where we came from and where we're going. And that's my biggest thing. That's all I wanted to say, Christian. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
QB, thanks for the phone call. I get what he's saying. I know exactly what QB is saying. Remember what it was like with Billy Joe Tolliver, Danny Werfel, Billy Joe. I mean, remember those days? Ken Stabler when he was washed up. I mean, remember those days? You want to go back to those days? There's a part of me that thinks that just because of how hard it is to find the Aaron Rodgers to Brett Favre, the Steve Youngs to Joe Montanas, that 10 years from now, 12 years from now, we might still be having a conversation. Where is the heir apparent to Drew Brees? They're still trying to replace Dan Marino in Miami. I'm still looking for his heir apparent. How long has he been out of the league? I think I was still in high school. When did Marino retire? I want to say before 2000, I think. Not shortly thereafter, at least. They're still looking for him, for the heir apparent. So be careful about this notion that you want Drew run out of town. Or the Saints could do better. Can they? We'd like to think that, because I think, by and large, we believe in Sean Payton's ability to groom quarterbacks and spot and recognize talent. But that's no sure thing. That's no sure thing. There's been a lot of great talent evaluators that have missed on quarterbacks. It's probably the most difficult position to project and to evaluate in all of football. Such the important position, but the toughest position to evaluate. Just be careful if you're in that get rid of Brees camp conversation. Because one day you're going to get it. You're going to not have Drew Brees. And I wonder how rosy that picture looks. I wonder if we'll, 10 years from now, say, man, remember that stretch from 17, 18, 19 where they went 11-5, 13-3, 13-3? And we might be having a conversation not, hey, Christian, where do you think the Saints are going to go 24th overall? Christian, who should they go with a second overall pick, third overall pick? It happens that fast. Success is fleeting in the NFL. While I get the standard of winning a Super Bowl for the Saints is real and allowed and realistic, man, it's not all that bad that they've went to the playoffs 3 straight years and the records that they've had. I'm not saying that that's the goal, but don't let it be an absolute abomination if it's not a Super Bowl. Like, in other words, it's, oh, the terrible season. Fire everybody. Only won one Super Bowl. Before Drew Brees and Sean Payton walked into that facility, that nation had only one playoff win, let alone a Super Bowl. Don't get too spoiled. Enjoy it. But I truly believe that it really comes down to the fact that there's been a generation now that has grown up not knowing anything but winning from the Saints organization. That's a reality. Wayne and Kenner, what's going on, Wayne? You're on WWL.
Okay, how you doing, man?
Good, thank you.
It's been 10 years since you won a Super Bowl. So, and you've been there 4 times. Drew Brees was 10 turnovers and 12 sacks over the last 4 playoff games. Okay, so you're still in the same spot that you would be if you had somebody else. You got a young defense. You got a young offense. Man, get you a young quarterback that can move and scramble and throw the ball deep, man. And stats, man, you can have that, man. You got to get the Super Bowls. It's getting old.
It's getting old.
It's getting old, man.
Scramble around. You want a quarterback that can scramble around?
Yeah.
You think that's what wins in the NFL, Wayne?
Well, you see, Wayne, answer the question.
You think that's what wins?
You see it happening?
Do you think that's what wins?
You see Lamar Jackson?
He doesn't just scramble. He's not just a scrambler. He can make plays from the pocket. And, oh, by the way, when he's been forced to throw in that playoff game, throwing 60-some-odd times, what'd he do? That's any quarterback, though. But the game scrambling around is not going to cut it. Lamar Jackson's career, if he continues on that path, while he might be a good one, I wonder how long it's going to last. Is it going to be 8, 10, 12 years? Opposed to a guy that's in the pocket that can manipulate the pocket, can move around a little bit, buy some time, even get you some runs on an RPO, but can still sit in that pocket and slice you to pieces. That's what this game's going to be about. That's what it's been about, and that's what it'll remain being about. Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying Lamar Jackson's not legit. I think he is. But how long is he going to play the way he plays? Do you think right now the Cincinnati Bengals are saying, we can't draft Joe Burrow because he can't run like Lamar Jackson. He can't scramble. Joe Burrow's a good athlete. He can get some yards, certainly. But that's not his forte. What's Joe Burrow's forte? Sit back there in the pocket and slice you to pieces because he's accurate. That's never gonna go away. Those Wayne and others that want this new flashy item, new young quarterback, they don't have that young of a defense. They got a fairly young defense, but a defense, oh, by the way, that is worth pointing out, laid a goose egg too in that loss to the Vikings. Not to mention the offensive line. You mentioned the sacks. I put that on the offensive line. The sacks of Drew Brees are not on Drew. It's on the O-line. We welcome in now Chris Blair, the voice of the LSU Tigers. Chris, sorry, I had to get that rant off my chest a little bit. How are you?
I'm good, man. Literally just touched down in Columbia, South Carolina.
I know tomorrow's a big one for Will Wade and company, trying to stay afloat in that SEC race for their defending SEC champion status.
No doubt about it. It's I guess it's as close to a must-win as they've had all season, simply because they've lost four out of the last five. And, you know, a couple of months ago, or less than a month ago, you know, they were looking atop the SEC. Now they're two games behind, and you know, got five games remaining. A lot of people feel like they're on the bubble, and you know, they've got three of those five games on the road, and it starts tomorrow against South Carolina, a team that plays very good at home inside Colonial Life Arena. Physical team, plays hard-nosed defense, maybe a little more offense than South Carolina has had in the last couple of years. So it's a big game, there's no doubt about it.
Chris, what's led to this little bit of a slide here?
I think defensive lapses for longer moments of the game. You know, it's one of the things Coach Will Wade told us about a month ago, you know, after the Tigers got off to that 8-0 start. You know, he mentioned that, you know, it was razor thin, the difference in wins and losses. You could be 8-0, you could be, you know, 4-4, you could be 3-5, you know, having big leads and giving them up late down the stretch and having to fight to hold on. And then a couple of the losses over the last four losses, you know, have been games where you've had leads or had a chance to win the games. Just some defensive lapses and turnovers have led to those losses. So, you know, I don't think it surprises this team. I don't think it surprises Will Wade. And, you know, they've been working on it. I've been to practice the last 2 days, and it's been all about defense. I mean, it's a team that scores 78, 82 points a game. Offense hasn't been a problem for LSU this year. Defense has been the issue. I mean, when you go to Vanderbilt, score 90 points, you expect to win. You lost 99-90. So the focus has been defense, and that'll be the focus tomorrow and more than likely the rest of the season.
Will Wade has been preaching that for a while now. He said it even when they were unbeaten in the SEC, is that, hey, if you don't shore this part of the game up, eventually it's going to come back to bite you. And Vanderbilt ended up being that team that came back and beat them. Chris, I know you got your hands full with basketball, but LSU baseball, they're in action tonight against EKU, Eastern Kentucky University. 4-2 on the year, a bit of a hiccup during the week against Nicholls State, but man, you got to like how Saul Garza's off to a hot start.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, it's one of the things that I've gotten accustomed to here in now going into my fifth year with LSU baseball. I mean, you're going to have a melt early in the year. You're going to have a melt middle of the year. But at the end of the year, you know, LSU is always battling for regional positioning, possibly super regional positioning, and a chance to go to the World Series in Omaha. So, you know, I don't think there's any reason to push the panic button here. You know, there were a little bit of experimenting going on earlier this week at Nicholls. You know, the Tigers got a big, solid win over Southern. They took two out of three out of Indiana, the Big Ten champion a year ago. So, you know, I don't know if there's any reason to get worried about this team. I mean, obviously, you'd love to see more than two runs in any game. But nights like that are going to happen, especially early, especially when you're putting younger players that are newcomers to this team. And also, and we all should remember, newcomers to this level of baseball in new positions. And, you know, I don't think Coach Palmieri goes into every midweek game experimenting. But he's got to find out what these guys can do in certain situations. And he was not happy with the performance at Nichols earlier this week. And, you know, some of those changes have been made going into this weekend. Some of those guys are getting opportunities to do it again in a three-game series at home. But, I mean, this team, I mean, with the pitching staff they've got, the depth they've shown, we've seen, you know, really good pitching from LSU in spots so far this year. Yeah, and as far as deep, and when it comes to how deep as they go, I mean, no reason to be worried just yet.
Yeah, Chris, I'm with you. You know, I've watched enough LSU baseball to know that, you know, you're going to have those stub your toe kind of moments during the week, and ultimately, if you take care of business in the conference, that game against Nicholls State it's going to be a blip on the radar. That's all it's going to be. That's just kind of how the landscape of college baseball is. And Chris, though, I'm wondering, we haven't seen, or at least I'm surprised that we haven't seen more of Giovanni DiGiacomo early in the spring so far.
Yeah, you know, Gio came in last year and had some big moments during the year. You know, sometimes in a starting role, sometimes coming off the bench. You know, it's what I've learned at LSU is what you're looking at lineup-wise here in late February and what you will see in mid-March, late March, and early April and down the stretch can be completely different. You know, he didn't have a great fall, didn't have a great preseason, but that doesn't mean he's not going to be a huge asset for this team. So, again, it's kind of too early in the year to basically say we're not going to see DiGiacomo in the lineup, because I think he's going to be there. And whether it's in the DH role or whether it's in center field, we'll have to wait and see. But I think he's going to be a big part of this team. And, again, the fact that he hasn't been on there so far doesn't mean a whole lot to me.
Chris, you got basketball tomorrow, baseball on Sunday, man. When do you sleep?
I'm going to sleep tonight, I guarantee you that. that's one thing for sure. We just landed. Just getting off the plane, headed to the bus. So losing an hour going to East Coast time. Now we're looking at 8 o'clock. So 8:30, going to get a meal. I'd say I'd be sound asleep like a baby about 9:30.
Chris, get some rest, man. Have a great call tomorrow and certainly on Sunday as well. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Christian. Appreciate it. Go Tigers.
You bet. Go Tigers. Coming back for Carter in New Orleans next year on Sports Talk on WWL. Happy Mardi Gras. Welcome into Sports Talk. Carter in New Orleans. What's going on, Carter? You're on WWL.
Hi.
Hi, Carter.
Happy Mardi Gras.
Same to you.
I like to talk about Drew Brees because he has a really good arm at throwing. He's really good. And he couldn't win the Super Bowl this year, or the year before this year, or the year before this year, and so on, and stuff. But
this is interesting. Somebody's parent put this kid up to this. This is funny. Go ahead, Carter. Keep going.
And put me up to this. I want to do it.
Okay. All right.
And
okay.
No, he didn't. Yeah. Drew Brees. He's good at throwing. I wanted to see the Saints win again, win the Super Bowl, but they couldn't because the Vikings cheated. I don't know how yet, but I'm going to find out. Yeah, the Vikings cheated.
You're on the case, huh, Carter? You're on the case?
Yeah, I'm going to start my detective mystery group.
There you go. Get after him. Call the NFL front office, 400 Park Avenue, New York.
Can you pay for my flight?
Can I what?
Can you pay for my flight?
No. No. I appreciate it, though. I appreciate how quick that is and how quick-witted you are.
I'm taking an initiative.
I like it, Carter. More kids need to have more initiative like you. I think the world would be a better place if we'd had more initiative. Carter, anything else I can help you with, man?
Yeah, I just wanted to get that off my chest. Say Drew Brees.
How old are you, Carter?
I'm 10.
You're 10? All right. You're not going to watch parades, man?
I'm good.
You're good? Anything else, Carter?
That's it.
All right, man. Enjoy your weekend, okay?
Same to you. Happy Mardi Gras.
Happy Mardi Gras.
Okay.
Can I pay for his flight? You know what's funny, though? Is like, I got to give him credit for just being that quick and saying, hey, can you pay for my flight? Somebody probably will. I won't. Because you're not going to get any, it'd be a waste of money anyway. You're not going to Park Avenue in New York at the NFL offices and getting any real answers anyway. I'm not wasting my money. Thanks for the phone call, Carter. Still got an hour to go. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Sports Talk rolls on here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.